Steve and I join you in being so thankful to God for that service that we had last Sunday. It was so wonderful to hear what God is doing in people's lives and how He's saving them from their sins and them being baptized and joining the church. And we are looking at possibly having another baptismal service July 10. It's just in pencil right now. And so I've been talking with a few people that I know are interested, and so if you are, get with one of the elders and talk to us if you'd like to be interviewed for baptism. So, and we'll let you know for sure if that's settled on that date. Well, open your Bibles again to John 16, and we'll study this morning verses 12 through 15. John chapter 16, 12 through 15. You probably know how this goes. You get consumed by something in your life. It could be a lot of different things. So much so that you lose focus, or you just have a hard time focusing on, you know, the right thing that you should be focusing on. Just yesterday when I was putting the finishing touches on this particular sermon, that happened to me. Some kind of troubling, heartbreaking news came, and that's all I could think about. And I kept telling myself, you know, focus on the sermon. Get your mind back on the sermon. Focus, focus. And of course, you know, then okay. And then 3 seconds and I'm back on, my mind's back on the other thing. And it's hard. And you know, the funny thing is that, and this is ironic, but the whole lesson is about where should our focus be. So the very thing that I was preparing to teach you all about is something that I was trying to practice yesterday in my study. And no matter at what level you teach the Word of God, you know, right, that you have to learn how to practice it. God gives us teachers, we teachers, the opportunity to practice the things that we're getting ready to teach someone. So, and it's by His grace, but it makes it challenging. Think about how sometimes you get so wrapped up in your work or wrapped up in relationships and the struggles that come with putting two or more sinners together in a relationship, and how you get so wrapped up in that you lose sight of what you really should be focused on. And all of those things, whether it's your work, whether it is a relationship, they lose their meaning, they lose their purpose because you've lost your focus. Maybe like me yesterday, you're consumed with a problem. There's some issue, some concern that comes up, and you become so consumed with that you lose sight of what the real focus ought to be. Maybe you're overwhelmed with ministry duties, you know, whatever your ministry is. And you can get sometimes so bogged down in that, or so concerned about it, or so worried about how things are going, or whether you're really doing what God called you to do the way you ought to do it, and you lose sight of why you're doing it. And if you kept your focus where it belonged, then you could face all of those, whatever they might be, with the rich biblical resources at your disposal. You know, with all of the tragic news that was recently dumped on the disciples here, as we find ourselves in the history of John 16, you know, who would be surprised that they lost focus? At one point, we'll see that they're going to be so confused and so discouraged that they're just going to go fishing. You know, it's like, and so throughout this section of John, Jesus is preparing them for that, preparing them to handle the things that are going to be challenging for them. All of this news, and as it plays itself out, because here just a little bit, Jesus is going to be betrayed and arrested and tried and tortured and murdered. And so what we find here in all of these different passages where Jesus is preparing them, we look at this one in particular this morning. He explains 3 ways in which the Holy Spirit will oversee their understanding of the truth. how the Holy Spirit will oversee their understanding of the truth. The Spirit's going to make sure that they understand the truth, all the truth about Jesus. He's going to see to it that they have what knowledge they need of what's to come. What does the future hold for them, for the church? And the Holy Spirit's going to see that they keep Jesus. They must keep Jesus as their focus. You see, the Holy Spirit works to see that it is all about Jesus. It's about bringing glory to the Lamb of God. And oh, how we need this lesson. How we need to be reminded in all the busyness, all of the hurt, all of the confusion of life. Even in the midst of all the good things in life. What is it really all about? Or better, who is it all about? This is the fifth and final passage in John's Gospel, where he talks about the Spirit as helper. We've learned in those passages, those five passages, that Jesus is going to send the Spirit to them as the helper, another helper, but another of the same kind, another like Jesus. We're going to talk about that a little bit more this morning. The Spirit will be their teacher. The Spirit will also enable them to supernaturally recall the things that Jesus taught them. You think about all of the sermons that Jesus gave, all of the times that he taught them, even privately, and all the different things that he did. And they're going to have to write four relatively long books with that material and be able to remember it accurately. And so the Spirit, Jesus promised, would be given to them to help them do that. The Spirit will himself bear witness to Jesus once Jesus is gone. And the Spirit will be the one who actually energizes them, the disciples, to be able to witness to Jesus, to testify of him that he is indeed the Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we saw that it is the Spirit who will work in our evangelism as we share the gospel with people. He's the one who will work in their hearts to convict them, to convict the lost in the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then today we'll learn how the Spirit will guide them into all the truth, keeping Jesus as their focus. And as we put all that together, what we see is that the Spirit is going to have this necessary and absolutely necessary, vital and profound ministry among the disciples. It's something that they cannot do without. They will not be able to carry out their ministries as apostles, laying the foundation for the church. And part of that, a big part of that, is the recording of Scripture. They're not going to be able to do that without this ministry of the Holy Spirit. The spreading of the gospel isn't going to happen without this, without the ministry of the Spirit. And you know, one thing that's interesting is the very last thing the Spirit wants to do. Even though Jesus is leaving, sending the Spirit, and you'd think, okay, this is God, the Holy Spirit, he has sent. And the very last thing that the Spirit wants to do is draw attention to himself. And so we will see that here in each of these points we're going to cover. The first is this. The Spirit will see that they deeply understand the truth. Notice this. About Jesus. He will see that they deeply understand the truth about Jesus. Verses 12 and most of verse 13. Look again with me there. Jesus tells them, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Jesus still had a lot more to teach them. As he's delivering them the truth, the message that God had given him, there's still more to go. There's still more for them to even understand about that truth. And there were still more elements of the truth that needed to be delivered. But Jesus recognizes that at this point, without the Holy Spirit, they're not ready to handle any more. It's like, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back kind of idea, you know, where that you know, Jesus has taught them for 3 years. And then here, just from chapter 13 through where we're at now, is a lot of truth. And we've taken weeks to go through it, or months, you know. And so he's poured that on them here in one evening. You know, they had the meal, the Last Supper, and he's pouring this out. And just during this time of eating, and then as they are getting up and making their way out, and he's still teaching, and he knows that their brains are about ready to pop. Why weren't they ready? Well, Jesus wasn't moving in the direction that they were hoping. It's like, wait, what? You're going to die? Okay, that just blows everything, Lord. I don't see how this is even possible. You know, this whole thing about the kingdom and you the Messiah and all, if you're dead. They can't see how his death is even necessary. Why do you need to die? They don't get that either. They're still wondering which of them is the greatest. Okay, so, you know, really not good. They're greatly troubled. There's a traitor among us? And then, the most troubling of all, it won't be long, and Jesus will be dead. The one they'd put all their hope in. You know, how often do we fail to see what God is trying to say to us in His Word because it doesn't line up with our agenda? You know, how many times, you know, you think, my brother and I were talking about this just a little bit ago today, how, you know, you pray, and God doesn't answer it that way. He answers it a whole different way. And you're, okay, yeah, I need to get over here, you know, and with God's agenda. But we miss what He's sometimes doing and trying to teach us because of what we thought the way it, sometimes, you know, we meant well. We thought this is the way it ought to be. Or maybe we can't see how it's even possible. Okay, Lord, I don't see any way out of this. So, you know, and He's trying to teach us something from the Word. We're like, yeah, but that's not even possible, so it's got to be something else. And we forget with God, all things are possible. Or we may be so troubled by our circumstances, you know, that we just can't see straight. And we read the Word, and we're just not getting it. I'm reading my Bible, you know. They tell us, read our Bible, and I'm reading it, and I'm just so consumed with my circumstances that I'm not even seeing what I'm reading. So Jesus knew that they could not bear much more teaching now. You see, without the Spirit, any more teaching, all of His teaching to them is this heavy burden. And they're trying to hold all this in, and okay, you know, and they're about to the point of crumbling. But in spite of their dullness of heart, Jesus gives them a precious promise. After His death, He would send the Spirit to lead them into all the truth, including the things that they're not ready for right now. He is going to provide. And how gracious is our Lord? You know, how patient He is with us. How when things, well, for whatever reason, you know, we're having a hard time learning and getting it. And He's so patient with us and gracious to us. Now, Jesus promised here that when the Spirit comes, and He's talking to the apostles, the disciples here, He will guide you into all the truth. Jesus is talking about a body of doctrine. See how this segues, really ties in with Sunday school, right? There's a body of doctrine. It is a fixed body of doctrine that the Father gave to Jesus, and Jesus, as we're going to see, is actually going to entrust that now to the Holy Spirit. he calls it all the truth, not just this kind of generic all truth, so that as we move through, you know, with science and philosophy and psychology and all these different studies, and oh, we're finding more truth. Not at all. The Spirit would lead them into all the truth, a body of doctrine that's already established. It's not something that they're going to be making up. It's not something that Jesus says, okay, I want you guys to kind of take what I've given you and kind of figure things out. And then, you know, that's what a lot of people say about the Bible, right? They say, well, you know, let's find what we think are the real words of Jesus, you know, and then they take scissors to the Bible and they end up with, you know, almost nothing. They say everything else was just, you know, man's kind of, you know, thinking it through, and this is how it sounded to them, and not at all. There's a fixed body of truth that is the truth about Jesus, the truth about His gospel. It's what the Father sent Him to proclaim. And as I said, Jesus promised that the Spirit would be another helper, another of the same kind, the word He uses in Greek. He'd be a helper just like Jesus. He would come to the disciples, to the apostles, and have this particular ministry. He would carry on the ministry of Jesus with them. And as the Spirit of truth, I love the names that Jesus uses of the Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. That's His nature. It's His character. And everything He does lines up with that character. So as the Spirit of truth, guess what He's going to be doing? He's going to be unpacking the truth for them. And just a little side note, this is a little mini theology lesson for you. You could tuck this away. If anybody tells you that, you know, the Spirit is just a force. It's God's power that emanates from Him or something like that. And it's kind of Star Wars-ish, you know. Well, here's a verse you can take them to, because in Greek, Jesus uses a masculine pronoun. He. Jesus considered the Holy Spirit to be a person. And He would know, being part of the Godhead, because He had been with the Spirit for all eternity past. The Spirit is a person. He's not merely a force. Okay, back to the lesson. Jesus had taught earlier in 14:26 that the Spirit would teach the disciples. And now what Jesus does is develops this idea a bit more, and He adds a term here. He says He will guide you into all the truth, that body of doctrine. He would guide you. So He's adding an idea here to help us understand what that teaching ministry involves. The Spirit would show them the way. He would guide them. He would instruct them. And it also includes the idea of teaching them how to obey this truth. You see, it's not just an academic exercise. He's not making them into the first seminary professors. He's showing them all of the ins and outs of the truth, but also with the idea of how practical truth is. How practical doctrine is. Doctrine is practical. Some people abuse it and make it merely academic, and that's wrong. I mean, think about it. Read your New Testament and see how many times it gets into practical things. Here's how you deal with these problems. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. Here's what not to do. And so you find in the whole Bible, but we're talking about the New Testament here, how practical it really is. The idea that is going on here with the Spirit coming and guiding them, if you will, it's like taking them by the hand and guiding them into all the truth. Think about how David prayed in Psalm 25:5, Lord, lead me in Thy truth and teach me. See, he's got this idea of being led by God and taught. You see, that those go together. But then he also, David prayed in Psalm 143:10, teach me to do Thy will. And then he says, let Thy good Spirit lead me on level ground. And so, see, David even knew about the Spirit's ministry, and it's going to be even more intense, if you will, in the lives of the apostles. But David even asked for that ministry of the Spirit. to lead him, to guide him, if you will, into all the truth of God. The disciples are going to need God's Spirit to help them understand the meaning of the cross. I mean, you think about it. People today, when you talk, when you tell people about the gospel, and you mention a cross, I mean, in that day they thought that was ludicrous. Today they think it's ludicrous. And you think about it, you tell people, like, you know, what good is a dead Messiah? You know, why did he have to die? Or they get it wrong. He died and left us a wonderful example of, you know, sacrifice or love or something like that. They're going to need the Spirit of God to help them understand the meaning of the cross, to understand the meaning of the resurrection. Because you think about it, you know, we talked last time about baptism and how, you know, you're raised up to walk in newness of life. That's the idea of resurrection. Our spirit has been raised up for new life. They needed the Spirit to teach them that and to be able to write it in Scripture so we would have it there in Romans 6 and we'd know what baptism is about. That it's a picture of what God does in us and how the resurrection of Christ first impacts our soul and raises our soul, and then one day we'll raise our bodies as well. They needed the Spirit of God to teach them those things. God's Spirit would lead them into a deeper understanding of the truth about Jesus. He would help them to develop these biblical principles. You find so much of this practical truth, these biblical principles, in the New Testament. Where do those come from? They sitting around over a cup of coffee thinking stuff up? No. The Spirit of God was working in them, making them to meditate on the truth. And He would guide them into that truth so that they supernaturally, with His help, and this was something for them, that they would be able to understand and record these things for us. He'd guide them into all the truth, not just some of it. They were shown the depths of all the truth. And let me see if I can help you picture it this way. Let's say that there was a boy that grows up in a particular area, and nearby there happens to be this cave system underground. And others had seen this, they'd, you know, gone down into this hole, and to them it's like, it's just a big black hole in the ground, and they have no interest in it. But the boy is fascinated by it, and he goes in and he explores, you know, he takes good lighting with him, and he explores, and every chance he gets, that's where he goes. So when he gets off from school, first thing he does his homework, rushes down into the cave. And he's exploring all these different features, you know, the water features and different formations and different caverns and things like that. And let's say in our story that he's now been doing this for 50 years. And others who like caves, spelunkers, they find out about this and they come to him. They've heard he's been searching these things out for 50 years. So they go to him and say, will you show us this cave system? And so he takes them down into the caves. He knows where to shine the light and say, okay, here, look at this formation. Look how these stalactites are coming down and there's a stalagmite coming up and they're about to meet, or, you know, or maybe they've met sometime in the past, and just how beautiful that is. And you know, and they're hanging on his every word. And they're taking copious notes. And then they take those notes and they go together and they write a field guide of this cave system. And it turns into a national park, and, you know, and then, but there's this field guide now that they've written out. And so tour guides are able to take people through those caves now, using that same field guide to say, okay, let me tell you about this formation. Let's go through here, and there's this huge cavern in there. Let's go over here, and you can see this water feature. It's just awesome. And then people are able to take that field guide and allowed to go back and explore on their own. Or they could bring another tour guide with them to help explain it. They're able to learn more about the cave and to behold its beauty. In my illustration, the cave is that fixed body of truth, the truth about Jesus. And to some people, it's meaningless. It's dark. Think about Paul, Acts 17, where he said there that it's like they're groping around in the dark. You know, yeah, is there a God? And they're just groping around. That's what would happen if you're in that cave and your light goes out. You'd fall on your knees, hands and knees, and you'd crawl and you'd grope around and make sure that you didn't fall off into some bottomless pit, you know, it seems. And that's how people are. They don't get it. But under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who intimately knows the truth about Jesus, and in my illustration, the boy who grew up and knows this intimately well, represents the Holy Spirit, who didn't learn in that same way, but he knows, the point is that he knows it intimately well. He knows the truth about Jesus, like the back of his hand, if you will. The disciples were shown around into the depths of those truths so that they would have understanding into each of those truths. And then there's some that Jesus didn't get to, that the Spirit of God showed them. Think about the teaching about the church. Jesus barely scratched the surface on that one. So much so that they probably didn't even think in terms that there's even going to be a church. And then Paul talks about it. It was a mystery up until just recently. And now, you see, it's the Holy Spirit who opened these things up to them. Made them see, oh, that's God's program. Things to come that we're going to talk about in a second. Insight into how believers ought to live, you know, in light of these truths. Those are the things that the Spirit of God led the disciples, the apostles, around into, if you will, that fixed body of doctrine, the truth about Jesus. And he helped them to explore, to understand, so that they learned to behold the beauty of Christ Jesus, to respond in worship, in adoration, and obedience. And then they recorded all of that, what the Spirit had them record. Think about 2 Peter, where he talks about men moved along by the Holy Spirit. They're the ones that wrote out this more sure word. More sure than signs and wonders. Teachers are given to the church like those tour guides who devote themselves to studying the truth and helping others to learn, for one, how to do it themselves, but also to be there to help. Because sometimes you hit on something, it's like, I'm not quite sure what that is, and you might go to one of them and say, can you help me understand this? He continues, the Spirit continues a ministry of teaching, not in the same way that he did with the apostles, but because we have the word here, but he does teach us. I think 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27, he does still teach us and helps us to get it, if you will, to understand it, to understand what has been recorded for us. So we too will learn to respond in worship, in adoration, in obedience. So, just as Jesus received this message and he spoke only what the Father had given him to speak, he didn't make this up. So the Spirit, as another helper, would continue speaking what he hears. He says he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And Paul talked about it, the product of the Spirit. This is the product of the Spirit searching all things, even the depths of God, 1 Corinthians 2:10. You see, the Spirit, he helped the disciples to go in and explore the depths of the knowledge of Christ, of God. Because, remember, Jesus is the revelation of God. He is the one who's the embodiment of truth, the embodiment of what God wanted to reveal to us about himself. So, we said the Spirit is not in this to promote himself, but first that the Spirit will see that the disciples deeply understand the truth about Jesus. Now, second, the Spirit will see that they know about the future of things related to Jesus. He'll see that they know the future of things related to Jesus. The very last phrase of verse 13 says, and in addition to all that, he will disclose to you what is to come. Jesus talked a little bit about what was to come. He told them about his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the pouring out of the Spirit. And he did talk a little bit about future things, like beyond that even, beyond Pentecost, but not a lot. He would leave that to the Spirit to teach them, to teach the disciples. And one area that they weren't ready for right now, and I could imagine, you know, if your brain's about ready to pop when you're trying to, you know, wrap it around his death and resurrection and all that, I mean, because a lot of you you grew up with hearing this, so it doesn't sound so far-fetched, but for them, it's like, man, you're really stretching, dying and rising again and all that. But can you imagine, on top of all this, then he starts talking about what's to come, you know, even long-term? And, you know, they weren't able to get short-term and understand it. So, even long-term. So, the Spirit would have to teach them that. Of course, we see this carried out in John's book, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Whether he's talking about A.D. 70, as some believe, or whether he's talking about something that's still future to now, John, through the work of the Spirit, disclosing what is to come. The Spirit disclosed that to him. John wrote it down. Some of the other disciples did the same thing in some of their books, things that were yet future to the disciples at least. See, whatever they needed to know, what the church needed to know about the future program of Christ, his kingdom, what they needed to know about that, the Spirit still had some work to do unpacking all of that for the disciples so they could record it for us. You see, one reason why this is important is that we need to keep our minds on the things above where Christ is, you know, Colossians 3:1. We need to stay focused on him. And so we lose sight sometimes when we get into future things, things to come, you know. We sometimes can get bogged down into when is this going to happen and some of the detailed meaning of this or that, and especially the book of Revelation. It's so unfortunate. It is such a wonderful book, and it's the only one that promises a blessing from just reading it. And yet, so many people don't, because they get bogged down and miss that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. They read through the book and really don't think about Jesus except, you know, coming on the white horse and killing everybody. You know, and they miss everything else. They miss that he's Lord of the church, the first chapters, you know. And they miss that it is all about him. It's all about Jesus. And that takes us to the final point. The Spirit will see that they know that the focus is Jesus. Verses 14 and 15. He's going to see to it that they know that the focus is Jesus. Verse 14, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me. For he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. You know, in our day, a lot of groups within Christendom they put so much more focus on the Holy Spirit than they do on Jesus. That's error. Because Jesus makes it very clear here what the Spirit's focus is. The Spirit's focus is Jesus. So what should our focus be? Jesus even makes a point earlier, and he said that the Father's focus is whom? Jesus. The Father and the Spirit are both busily working in this age of history in promoting the glory of Jesus. And that is where we need to be. I remember one time when I worked in a Christian bookstore, this lady came in and And she was married to a converted Jew, somebody who had, a Jew had been saved. And she was saying, you know, there's a lot, there's so many churches out there that are promoting the Spirit, and like, he's the only one that exists, and that's wrong, and I agreed with her, that's wrong, based on what Jesus said here. And she said, but you know, there's so many other churches, and she went to a Messianic Jewish congregation, separate issue we could talk about some other time, but, she said, so many churches, they put all the emphasis on Jesus. They should be emphasizing the Father. I said, but Jesus told us that the Father put the emphasis on Jesus. And I didn't hear from her again. But apparently it didn't go over very well. But, like, Jesus said that the Father is bringing glory to Jesus, and the Spirit is bringing glory to Jesus, and so that's what we ought to be doing, is bringing the glory to Jesus. And that doesn't mean we don't glorify the Father and we don't glorify the Spirit. And we will pray and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the primary emphasis is always toward Jesus, bringing Him glory. Why? Because He is the embodiment of truth. He is Himself the revelation of God to man in person. And so God wants all the glory to go to Him and to His work on the cross and to Him as King and all of that together so that we understand God and know God. And one day, Jesus is going to take all of that, remember, and He's going to wrap it all up and He's going to offer it up to His Father so that there will be all in all. And oh, but now it is about Jesus. It is about glorifying Him. That's the Spirit's focus. It must be our focus. For God the Holy Spirit, Jesus is His theme. And if anything, no matter how wonderful it might sound or how exciting it might sound, if it detracts from Jesus, it is not from the Holy Spirit. You can bet on that. Because the Spirit is in the business of bringing glory to Jesus. And so any ministry out there that is not, number one, bringing glory to Jesus, it is not of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is not working there. You can know that. And we should remember that ourselves, right? That our ministry is all about Jesus. So when you're sharing the gospel and you're terrified, get your focus where it needs to be. I'm here to tell them about Jesus. If they don't like that, that's between them and Jesus. I'm just being faithful to hold my Lord up to the world. Jesus said that the Spirit would take of His, disclose it to them, to the disciples. Jesus has already said, the Father gave everything to Me. And He talks about it again here. He entrusted it all to Me. Now I'm entrusting it to Him while I'm gone. And then for Him, He's really talking about the truth here. That body of truth. And He's going to, I liked how you said it, brother, in Sunday school, it's like the gospel, it just explodes. And you've got, if you take something tiny, you know, explode it, then you've got all these pieces that you can examine. And that's a good picture. That's what the Spirit does for me. It's like He explodes all of that. And you see, Jesus came and He started unpacking this body of truth. Like, if you look at it as a big package, and He's taking it out and He's teaching the disciples about that. But He didn't finish. It wasn't His plan. It wasn't the Father's plan. It's time for Jesus to go home and to be at the right hand of His Father because He's going to be praying. And so He sends the Spirit down to finish unpacking that for the disciples so that they would have it. And then we'll be able to write it down for us. The Holy Spirit would so work in the minds and hearts of the apostles that they would come to understand the truth about Jesus, the implications of that truth, and be able to teach it to the church. They would record it in Scripture, 2 Peter 1:21. They record it to preserve it for God's people. Think about the New Testament. You've got the four Gospels, and in some of those, especially with John, there's commentary where the apostles are helping unpack some of that for us. But think about the epistles and Revelation as the product of the Holy Spirit taking what Jesus taught them and what the Spirit still needed to teach them, and that ended up in the rest of the New Testament. A fun thing to do, Read the Sermon on the Mount and then go read James. Read the Gospel of John and then go read 1 John. You'll see a lot of those connections. And because what's happening is the Spirit teaching the apostles, and they recorded the life and teaching of Jesus, but then they come over here and it's like writing these inspired commentaries on that. And not like we have on our shelves commentaries, which are not inspired, maybe helpful, but not inspired. The epistles are the Word of God. The Spirit did not usher in His own era. Some people say that this is the era or the age of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that's biblical terminology, really. He came to just do the sequel to Jesus' ministry. He just continues what Jesus started. And it's Jesus' era. This is the era of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is just doing the sequel, part two, if you will. Finishing what Jesus started. The Holy Spirit is busy bringing glory to Jesus. Now, while these promises we talked about this morning were made directly to the apostles, you may be thinking, well, what about me? Do these have any impact on me? Oh, yeah, you bet. If you didn't see it already, what we have here in the Scriptures is the most wonderful blessing that's a product of that ministry of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And so we should look at those three promises as, yes, they were promises to them directly, but they were promises to us, the church, so that we would have the Word of God. We would have the foundation. We would have that body of doctrine that we know of as the gospel, that body of doctrine about Jesus. And it's this whole cave system, if you will, that we've got a whole life to explore. Because the Spirit has shown, He's placed lights, if you will. If you've ever been in one of those caves, you know, they've got lights strategically placed. And the Spirit has done that, illuminating the beautiful doctrines of Jesus Christ so that we can behold them. And it has this is for us too in that way. We have the truth of Jesus and His teachings recorded in the New Testament for all of us to feed on daily, to drink from daily, to explore, to learn, to grow and change. Why? So that we can become more like Jesus. Why? So that we can bring glory to Him. Because as people see us and our lives being changed, see sinners transformed bit by bit, what happens is the glory all goes to Jesus. Because sinners don't change. It is impossible. If you've ever tried to reform your life to any real extent, that is, to change your heart, it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. So when it happens, you know that it has to have been God and His grace working through the good news of Jesus Christ. And so as we're made more like Him, we glorify Him. He's worthy of all glory. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And He deserves all of our glory. The Lord's table is a constant reminder that the focus is to be on whom? Jesus. We celebrate Jesus. We remember Jesus' death. We remember Jesus' sacrifice. And that's what the table reminds us of week in and week out. That it's all about Him. It's all about our Savior. So look to Him now. If you need to, recommit yourself to orienting your life around His concerns. Is your life about Jesus? Is that the whole point of your life? Is that where you draw meaning and purpose from? That it's all about Jesus? If not, then during this time, refocus your life so that it revolves around Him and Him alone.